In case you are wondering where my wife is, she is at a Methodist minister's spouse's retreat all weekend. So they might be talking about their spouses over there, or talking about their churches or the parsonages. I don't know, but so that's where she is. Last week, she and I were in Hawaii, and we appreciate having that time away. We were at an aunt and uncle's 50th wedding anniversary, and this was the aunt and uncle that really wanted to come to our wedding but could not due to health reasons. And so it was the first time for her to meet them. And incidentally, I did bring some little snack cookies from Hawaii, and they're for you to get on the way out, so make sure and get some from the basket. For Marlu, everything was new and experienced everything for the first time, but for me, it was returning home. If you remember, 6 months and, or 6 years and 7 months ago, I just came to this church and my mother was sick and she passed away, and I left in August for her service, but then I've never been back home since then. And I thought about this and reflected upon the question about what do we expect when we return home after being away for so long? We probably figured that there are some changes, or that some things are new, but also that some things stay the same. When we visited, I showed her the schools that I went to, the houses where our family lived, and some places that I like to recreate, some beaches that I like to go. We also reconnected with relatives, and one of the highlights was visiting the church that I grew up in. And one of the changes of the church was they also renovated. They have two screens like we have, except theirs are bigger, if you can imagine. There's one member that donated $50,000, and they upgraded their sound, and their they had the projectors like we have, and their screens are much bigger. What does it mean to return home, and what do we expect, and when we get there, what do we find? The story of the prodigal is about a journey, or you could say it's about a summary of life. It's a story about returning home. And what did the prodigal son find? What was he expecting when he went home? But before we talk about that, before he returns, first thing is he had to venture out. The first important turning point is that the son realized that he must leave. He must make a break with his present living situation. He must leave the familiar. He must explore and discover what's out there. Perhaps he was feeling confined or choked up or limited or trapped or just stunted. Maybe he wanted to discover who he was, separate from his family, separate from his culture, to get away from his upbringing. He needed to be out on his own, and I can relate to that because I felt that way when I left for college. So in Luke chapter 15, he goes to his dad and says, "Can I have my inheritance now so I can leave?" Now, this is quite offensive to the parents because one is supposed to be entitled to the inheritance only after the parent dies. But in the story, the father is still there. So the scene is quite obscene and offensive and rude. It's individualistic and selfish and arrogant. It goes against any culture that we can think about to ask for an inheritance before it's supposed to be given. But as the story goes, the father does as his son wishes. In the story, the writer doesn't say that there is a hint of him being upset or outraged. There's no hint of disgust or violence or shame. He doesn't scold his son. He doesn't yell at him. He doesn't judge him. He is not suspicious of him. There is no fear. There's no worry. But there's a sense of support. There's a sense of trust. There's a sense of unconditional love at this stage of the story. He doesn't say to his son, now don't spin it all at once, or don't waste it. He doesn't even tell him how to spend it. He doesn't tell him what to spend it on. Nor does he say, I'm offended, don't ever come back. And he doesn't even say, I disown you, you are no longer my son. But there is this peaceful acceptance of his son's decision. So the son leaves. With this newfound freedom and the world wide open to him, he loses himself in dissolute living, as verse 13 says. He squanders it. He spends it freely, frivolously, without even regard for the future. There's no investing. There's no saving. He didn't seem to have a plan. Maybe his plan was, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to splurge. Based on the story, he didn't seem to exercise any sense of responsibility. He just enjoys himself, he indulges, and he partakes of all the excesses that he can until everything runs out, until he has spent everything, until he is broke, until he hits rock bottom. And when he's at rock bottom and in desperation, he tries to get a job. But he isn't happy. After some thinking and reflecting and soul searching, he decides, well, maybe I can go home. After what I said to my parents, after what I did with the money, maybe I can get hired on like one of the servants. After all, my father has many servants. He said to himself, well, I'll just say that I'm sorry that I was stupid, I was sinful, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. And hopefully, they'll take me in. What was he hoping for when he went home? Mercy, kindness, forgiveness, acceptance. What was he hoping for? Maybe just some small measure of grace. Maybe some just bare substance to live on. What does he find when he returns home? Verse 20 says, he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. What the father didn't find was anger, what the son didn't find was anger. What he didn't find was judgment. What he didn't find was, I told you so. What did he find? He found compassion. The father ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Now, in the Middle Eastern culture, for a father to run to a son, that is seen as undignified. If you could think of your father or your grandfather and you being an adult, if your father was running down the road, it is considered awkward and embarrassing and humiliating and shameful. Just outrageous. It was ridiculous. 2 Sundays ago, I was out here in the street where the cars are. And I saw one of the brown girls, and she was running down the street, right in the middle of the street. Her dad, Steve, car door flew open. He had the baby in the other hand. He was in his Sunday clothes and his Sunday shoes. He was running down the street, chasing his daughter, who was, I think she's 3 or 4 years old. We're all dumbfounded. I was afraid a car was going to come and hit her, really. She was just sprinting, and he was really booking down the street after her. When they came back, I found out that his daughter saw a dog in the park and wanted to go and pet it. Steve ran out of sheer protection for his daughter, so this is kind of entirely different. If Steve was in his 70s and he was running down the street to meet his adult daughter, that would be awkward. But the father in the story ran and put his arm around the son and hugged him and kissed him, and this was sheer raw emotion. It wasn't logical. It wasn't rational. It was compassionate. Because the father in the story could have just folded his arms, just waited for his son to come, and then waved his finger at him. It showed an unbridled compassion and acceptance and welcome and reception. It exhibited a deep love, and he rushed at his son with great urgency. What did the prodigal son find when he went home? He found, first of all, compassion. What else did he find? Quickly, bring a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and celebrate. For this son is now found. They began to celebrate. What the prodigal son found was compassion and celebration when he went home. It was a generous extravagance and acceptance with great joy and feasting and celebrating. There was no holding back. What we also find out in the story, though, is what he found was envy and jealousy and animosity. Scripture doesn't say that he found this through his brother, but the dad did. But the dad was mature enough to handle it. This month, the book club is reading the book Honolulu by Alan Brenner, and being growing up there, I decided to start reading it. And it's about a Korean woman who moves to Hawaii, and throughout the book, she is talking about her having left home and is living in a foreign land, and she has big hopes and dreams for a better life, of getting married, of making money and sending money back home and sponsoring somebody to come to this country. But her father and the culture said that she was not to move away. It was dishonoring. It was shameful, unthinkable, unacceptable. But she leaves anyway, without approval, without support. And so during the story, she says and thinks back and tells herself and tells the other people, "I can't go back home." She summarizes her journey this way. She said, "My life, my journey is not measured in time or distance, but in the breadth of one's soul and the struggle of becoming. Going away and coming home, there's this constant story of the soul that we go through and the struggle of becoming. What did I find when I returned home? I found a strong sense of roots and identity in soul. I rediscovered this place that shaped me and formed me and influenced me and something that will always be a part of me. Yet I had to leave that home and live in all these temporary homes. The temporary homes that we leave and move to, I call the church. What should we find at the church home? Acceptance, welcome, compassion, celebration, great joy. When we think back to our ancestral home, not all of us had a wonderful and memorable and lovable home. But God, who is the Father in the prodigal son story, is the example, is the model, is the source for the transitional home, which is the church, and our spiritual and temporal home. We accept and we welcome and we celebrate and we feast and we forgive, even though at times we might find envy and jealousy and animosity in this spiritual home. But we hopefully can deal with it. When I reflect on our church home, we are that. We are welcoming. We are a place of compassion and celebration. And we do have feasts, and we strive to forgive, and we find fellowship. But we can get better, and we can improve. And it takes continuous work. So let us be that home that people can come back to. Amen.